Welcome to Sword and Board, a Dungeons & Dragons Onslaught podcast.
Hello and welcome back to Sword and Board. I am Jay, super excited Shalansky. Joining me this week is Evan the Angel Bulris and Nick. Whoa. I live in a closet, Lichtenberg.
Whoa.
I mean,
you
that's
like even the closet. Back rooms of closets. There's yeah. just nothing but closet doors and wood lacquer. Like, yep. Just as far as you go, every room is just more
it's
of
a
that.
Vintage basement.
Yeah.
As far as the eye can see.
This is how he hides the podcast from his wife. It's just like it yeah. does it in the closets, like the Narnia. Like
no one's here. This is my safe space.
Yeah. I'm safe out here.
But
we're back.
We back.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest with everyone at home. This is our second run at this intro, because technology hates me, and I'm old now, and for years and years, I knew technology. It was like an extension of my own body, and now it just seems like I can't do anything right with it, and this is the end, everybody. So.
Time. It's the rise of the machines.
This is the end.
Evan's obviously having trouble with technology, too. He shaved his beard off, and
I screwed it up so bad. I had this funny Western thing I did last time. That's gone. So I was
that's energy gone. And that's will just to live.
For us now.
This is hour one of like three tonight. It doesn't even like matter. Like I'm here all night. I was here last night and I'm back again. So I was trying to shave and I screwed it up because my beard grows like out, not like down. So I tried to shave up the sides so I could just get like that nice, I don't want a long beard, but just a managed beard. And then I screwed it up and then I decided to scorched earth. I'm like, why don't I do this more often? I look like a big old man baby. Like, I'm like, yeah, that's why. Oh god.
In our other recording, I had a joke. Yeah, I had a joke for this and it just doesn't feel right anymore.
Yeah, no, the time has passed.
You live, you actually look like one of the Dig Trio. You know?
It got worse.
Like,
Damn. I remember what Diglett said. Diglett Dig, Dig Trio. I don't remember how they said their name. I'm so old. But on a brighter note,
you look like Earthworm Jim.
You know what?
No, we're getting
I'll
more
take
accurate.
That. I'll take that as a compliment. All right. Yeah. Groovy. French fry sandwiches. Man, I'm here for it.
So, this is about the time that I would do some sort of plead for you guys to join our Patreon, but I've screwed this up so many times tonight that we're not even deserving of your money. Just hang on to your money. Don't even go to our Patreon.
Just take it back.
Jay needs it for his sanity. Look at him. He's barely hanging on.
Don't even bother. There's nothing there that you guys are going to want. It's just more of this dumb idiot. So just don't even do it.
But we have a Discord, a private Discord that collects all of us dumb idiots together.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to ask the Hive Mind a question.
So if you really wanted to see how I screw up, you could do it there. But listen, if you're feeling charitable, I guess you could go to patreon.com/thefifthtrooper. I honestly don't care anymore.
This is gonna be our highest donation. There's the big sub spike when this episode.
No,
comes.
It's, don't
it's
do
the
it,
sympathy
everybody.
Card. This Jay's gonna do.
Don't do it. It's just not worth it. I'm not worth it. Just so you guys.
God. All right, this is bad. All right, let's pull this out.
No. No, sit in this stew.
No.
You sit in it and you like it. This is what you've
time,
done.
Jay, I ain't got time.
You know what I think it is? I think you shaving your beard off is extremely unlucky for us, and I blame you.
It's unlucky for you. It's unlucky for me. Look at me.
Yeah.
What do you mean unlucky for us? How dare you?
And he had his work portrait this week. It's all downhill.
You know what? With the right kind of hat, you might be a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Oh,
wow.
You can do it. Just don't step on a church in my town.
You see, listeners, this is what happens when I call the jackals come out. You, when you're the king, when you're the lion of the group and you have a bad day,
yeah,
all the jackals come out from the little hiding spots just to cackle at you.
You think you're the lion of the group?
Give them a good mocking, and then they go back in. They go back in.
That's interesting.
Now, I don't have a name now. That's all cut off.
There are no lions here, Evan.
Yeah. I feel like you're like Scar. Like you're trying to take over. Like I feel like you're throwing me to the wildebeest.
That's what, to the wild.
Yeah, I feel mean, like I that's. I feel I like that's that what works you're for doing. Me, like, yeah, with that beard shaving, you're like, you know what?
Good years.
Jay was so used to this beard, and I know this is gonna throw him off. So I'm just gonna go ahead and shave this thing off.
I knew you know, after I took out Mufasa, I had a couple good years before Simba came back. Right, so like, yeah. I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
things weren't the worst, probably. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely Mufasa in this. Yeah,
I don't know.
So death more is of a, soon.
What was the toucan's name? Toucan in Lion King.
Oh,
in Lion King. Zazu, you're more of a sassy Zazu.
So who's in charge then?
No one. That's why this conversation is going the way it is.
It'd be really there weird. No, it turns Simba. Out it's me.
We're in trouble.
And like, Grammar is more of like Timon, right?
I'll take Timon.
Wisecracking.
Yeah.
Wisecracking.
All right. All right.
This is what are we here for?
This is the last time you hear me on this podcast. All right. Who's? I just get a message. Who's Zazu removed from server? Yeah. Like, who's Zazu now? But anyway,
change his name on this on here. It says Evan now, but I'm going to change it to Scar.
Scar, hey, look, I got a great song. My song was way better than your song. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I got an iconic song. I died at the end. It's fine.
Yeah,
made it through most of the movie.
I did make it through 90% of the movie. I made it through.
You guys ever play that game on Super Nintendo?
That was great. It was hard.
Hard.
Yeah. It was very hard. Super hard.
All those early like 90s, those 90s Disney games were all
90s Disney.
All super hard. The Aladdin game was crazy hard too.
I did have the Aladdin game.
Yeah.
I just never beat it, I think, because
I was a kid and it was super hard.
Even when you're in the that's actually Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna say, I was like, what?
I also got hit in the head when he was playing the Lion King game.
The Agrabah song from the first one. But I remember getting to the when you're on the magic carpet.
Yeah.
That was always the part where either make or break it for me.
Running away from the lava or whatever.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one in the Lion King was Simba running from the wildebeest. Oh my god, dude. Yep. So hard. So hard. Anyways, that's not why you're here. If you're here at all, still.
It could be.
Yeah, if you're just checked out. You're here for some Onslaught D&D content. Speaking of which, before we got cut off last time.
Yeah.
Grammar, you said you saw the movie. The D&D movie.
The D&D movie was
give me
good.
Last time you said it was
give me a
unbeatable.
1 out of 10.
You said it was perfect last time.
It's a solid 8.
Oh.
Okay. Hold on. Okay. Let's qualify this. What is a solid 10 in your book?
Ooh.
Give me a 10. What's your favorite movie of all time?
I'm trying to think.
Then give me a 5 afterwards so we see where the middle line is.
Yeah.
Oh, give us a you're 10 putting me on the spot 5. Here.
No, come on, favorite movie all time. What's your go-to
movie? All time, we're going unoriginal, but we're going Empire Strikes Back.
I'm going to watch this movie tonight and every night from here on out. That's your favorite movie?
I don't watch a lot of movies. In fact, I rewatch hardly any movies.
But you're literally the worst.
I've rewatched The Empire Strikes Back more than any other movie. So I'm going to put that as my top.
What's a 5?
What's a 5 for you? What's the middle of the road?
Middle of the road? I'm going to say the original Avengers is a 5.
The first Avengers. The
first Avengers was a 5.
Right. That was a 5 for you? And Empire is a 10. You have a real skewed.
There's some weird pacing and screen time issues with Avengers 1.
All right, I'll tell you what. Based on his rating system, this Dungeons and Dragons is like a New York 10.
A New York 10. It was a good, fun movie. I enjoyed it. That might be a little unfair to Avengers, but it was what I could think of on the spot.
Also,
wow.
It sits in between the two, so that would be more of a 7.5 than an 8.
This comes out on Thursday, correct? Or when's this come out?
Yep.
Okay.
What's today? Yeah, Wednesday? Yeah, tomorrow, Thursday. Yeah.
So if you're listening to this, day of release, Return of the Jedi is in theaters.
Yep.
For the relaunch. And also Jedi Survivor comes out, which is going to eat up my weekend, thank God. Just have something to do that's not painting miniatures. Actually, that's why Onslaught's great. I don't got to paint crap. I bought the spell cell swords, and I just opened them up, dumped them out in my bin, and I said, and we're done.
Yeah, this was the dream. This is what we've... just as an aside, I was looking at the WizKids site the other day at some of the framework stuff to see if I wanted to proxy anything for Onslaught. Yeah. And they actually have, I think it was one or two sets from the movie. So, like, if you... Yep. I think a lot of you, if you're fans of Dungeons and Dragons, you probably got some of this stuff, but if there's somebody you saw the movie with and you're trying to get them into D&D or Onslaught or something, you could get the enemy set that's based on the movie. So that's pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
I know they've got the Zhentarim are a pretty good one for one for frameworks. I found each of those. That's fine. Harpers are harder. They don't have a great Frameworks Bard yet, which is kind of surprising. I don't know about the new set coming up, but as of current that I could find in stores, they did.
Yeah.
I know you can do a lot of many arrows.
Yeah.
Like the orc or the barbarian and the paladin, you can get pretty close with what they have out. Yep. And then they make that kobold pack, which is okay with kids. $14 for one model. That's fine. That's reasonable. You're charging me $80 for 5 kobold frameworks. You're out of your mind. So maybe they make the singles you can do.
Yeah.
That's crazy talk.
Isn't that strange?
It's because everything else they do is pretty, like, reasonable. Extremely reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the pre-built, pre-painted ones, like pre-primed ones, even the pre-painted ones, $40 for like 6 dudes I don't have to build or paint.
Yeah.
Okay. That's like an asking price. Like, that's
fine. And they're
fine.
Actually painted decently. That's something
you can
always get.
They're above the WizKids. I mean, like
the base, whatever.
The HeroClix, right? They're better than that, right? And those, like, you just pop them open. But yeah, there's a couple, like, weird oddball, like, price that are just kind of not in line with everything else. Because I wanted to buy the kobolds. I actually went up to my store and asked if 80 was right, because sometimes they make mistakes. And I'm like, are you sure this is 80 American dollars for 5 kobold miniatures? And they said yes, and I said, thank you, sir. I will just take this barbarian.
What is this, Citadel?
Yeah, it's worse than Citadel. at least you get a box of Space Marines. So I wanted to do the kobold so I could do many arrows, like make one a monk and make one a druid. I really do like the many arrows models that come in the box. I think they're pretty good looking. Like, it gives you some, like, ownership of your team. And it's allowed, right? They have, like, the list of allowed sprues, so, like, that's cool that exists.
That
was a bummer.
I have really, I got a couple of those. They're 2D miniatures. They're just, like, they're like our acrylic tokens that we did for Onslaught. They're just called 2D minis. You can get them on, but this is... drives me crazy too. They have basically like two completely different websites for this. So you have dndmini.com and then you have WizKids, where they both have stores, and not everything's one-to-one. So, like, if you're on the DDD Minis mini website and you don't see something, go over to the WizKids website because it might be there. I was worried that they weren't going to look as good, you know what I mean, because they're printed acrylic, but they actually look really, really good. So, like, I could see using them for, like, skeletons
even like the big monsters, because they can just, like, then take apart and fold up, and they're nice combat.
Yeah. Or like that what's the Benefactor set that's coming out soon, where they recommend what minis to get. Like, you could actually, they have, I'm pretty sure they have beholders and stuff for
oh, I'm sure there's a 2D beholder.
Yeah, for 2D. Yeah, so so they've got a bunch.
So iconic.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what else is in that pack yet. They just did the first scenario, released the first scenario. But, like, you know, they've got a ton of 2D minis. Like, so if you don't want to spend the whatever it's going to cost to get whatever the minis are in there, you know, you could always just get the 2D ones, because they're really reasonable. I think it's like 20, between 20, 10 and, depending on the pack, it's between 10 and 20. But, like, 10 and 20... 2D miniatures, it's like $15.
Yeah, it's not bad. I've got a few of those patches just for like DMing stuff for actual D&D, and they're awesome.
Yeah,
that's very reasonable.
Yeah,
I mean, that's kind of the draw to Onslaught too, right? It's like it's a good second game. Yep. It's easy. That lends it to it. So if Onslaught was a game where I had to pay, like, the core set's like about $140, I think that's MSRP. Yep. It was $140. And then I had to build and paint every model that came in there, and just to play it, I would not be as into the game as I am.
Right.
Because I already do that. Like, I already, like, that's my Legion, Conquest, MCP, right? Like, I already do that. Like, that's what's really cool about it, is, like, you can, like, people are afraid of hobby games, and I get it, rightfully so, because that's a lot of work. They're afraid they won't paint it. They won't be able to paint it the way they want it. There's a lot of, like, time commitment that people don't have.
Yep.
So Onslaught's that great, like, it's a miniature game. The minis are painted well, I'd say, like, table ready, if not a little bit better, for what the price you're asking for it. And, you get a bunch of stuff and it's just done ready for you. Like, that's great. It's like the perfect, like, wingman game for your main game, right? You've got your, like, main game and things are going, let's say you go to a tournament and you go 0-2 and you had to go like 2-1 to even make day two, so you're out, right? You just, like, crap, hey, an Onslaught tournament, all right, let's go. And you go there and have a blast, and like the amount of space it takes in your bag is like, you know, like a large sandwich box, you know, like it's nothing. So it's excellent for that. And all the scenarios, like, they have the free 4-player one, they're just constantly giving you content. Like, I wish I had time last week to play the 4-player scenario so I can give like a battle report on that. I haven't had time yet.
I want to play the tournament one.
Oh, the
the grand melee.
Yeah, the grand melee where you have to anybody who wins that has to be
yes, I, like, want a title.
Yeah, the title every time they come to play. Like, that's really cool. Like, I love that. So that's sweet. I really got maybe this weekend I'll try to con some people, be like, hey guys, why don't you come over for a couple beers, and they show up and the, like, board's out and everything's cut out and ready. I'm like, well, now that you're here, we should play some Onslaught.
Door locks.
Click. You get out if you win, and if you don't, you live here with me.
Wow,
it's your path to victory. In my creepy basement. Actually, that thing's flooding right now, it's not good. That basement's not
an actual dungeon.
That's exactly honestly, where they deserve to live then.
Yeah. My creepy flooded basement. But yeah, so this week we decided that our original plan, I'm sorry, I'm going over the place, because we had original plan and we kind of blew it for this. So our original plan was to go over each character in each faction, like, one at a time.
Yeah.
But we didn't want someone who just plays in Tarum or just plays Many Arrows to wait like two months before we got to their character. So what we're going to do is we're going to run through quick Zhentarum, and we'll focus on one character in there. And each week we'll do that. And then once we've done all those, then we can go and kind of deep dive.
That was not what we said we were going to do, Evan. It's the opposite.
What?
You messed this up.
I thought Evan was right.
No. Yeah, no, I think I'm right.
Evan's never right. Yeah, Scar thought he was right too, but
he was.
Next thing you knew, the Pride Lands were all destroyed and in desolate.
Long live the king.
Are the Pride Lands your studio, Jake?
Yeah.
And I think I've already won, my dude.
better than your basement, you nerd.
Oh, it's true. It's true. It's bad down there. It's not good. It's not good.
Yeah, no, you're right. That is definitely what you
please
decided.
Please subscribe to the Patreon to help fix Evan's basement.
Please. It's terrible.
We need basement money stat.
God. The first quote was 20 grand, and I'm like, you.
Yeah.
It ain't good. All right.
Owning a house is for the birds.
It's true.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Just be a vagrant like me.
Yeah, that's why they have bird houses.
Houses are expensive. Dumpsters are free.
That's, you see, true. My little raccoony paws. All right, so
here we go.
We're going to do a quick run through with each character. And then I think the one as Zhentarim that really stands out to me is actually the monk. I think that's
okay.
A character who...
Yeah, it's okay to be wrong.
Man, all right, what's your book, Jay?
Here we go, yeah.
Baruchel.
Uh-oh.
Paladin?
We're in trouble.
Okay, I mean...
Because I agree with Jay.
Really? Yeah!
Yeah. Woo! I'm in for the...
It's like the boring beat stick. Like, I walk up swing, hey,
I think he does what... I mean...
Say
They need to just...
Say your feelings.
Get up there and beat some face in. They're not as tricksy. They just need to...
But he's not even the best at that. Like, isn't that the...
Somebody Bedlam? Throw a couple knives in between these guys and let's see who wins this out.
Isn't Bedlam the better just brawler, right? The amount of damage they do in the heal?
Bedlam doesn't have much
do three damage. I guess.
If on the curse, if you can get that off.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you're going to melee, curses,
yeah.
And you're right next to him anyway, it's like a free bonus action. Like, might as well be free.
Bedlam does damage, but Barakal's the tank.
I mean, he's got two more hit points. I guess he has it harder to hit, but...
He's got three more hit points, I think, right?
She's at 10?
She's at 10, he's at 13.
10, all right. Okay, that's one hit, more or less. One hit from anything that's going to matter.
And then 17 AC versus 12.
Yeah, after your talk last week, and the more I thought about it, like, AC's not irrelevant, but, well, man...
Minor jumps in AC aren't that big of a deal, but plus 5... is pretty relevant
with 2d20 with a general plus 5 coming at you.
He's gonna get hit a lot, but it's gonna be notably less than someone like Bedlam.
All right, here's what I want to do. Who cares about the rest of the faction?
Okay,
uh-oh.
Let's do people. We're okay. Gonna do a three-way squirrel fight here. We're gonna continue this conversation, but we're gonna look at Bedlam, Baruchel, and Javika, the flowing maple. All right.
So,
because okay. those are the top three.
Those are the three on the table right now. So let's see what we got.
Wow, man. I guess. Like, I think they're all good. Actually, I don't think they really have a bad.
They are all solid. I don't think there's.
By the end of today, I want a winner.
So take this away for our listeners.
Okay.
Fair listeners. It's a lot harder to pick out a standout winner because they're all pretty balanced against each other. Like, this isn't like, Chloe, every time.
Listen, it's okay for you to be wrong too. So here, let's go.
Uh-oh.
Let's get this going. Why don't you, Evan, why don't you go ahead and do our friend, the flowing maple. Tell us about what she's got going on.
All right. Or as I like to call this character, Monk. Because that name I never say right.
Javika,
the flowing maple. Yeah, I don't know. Say monk. Just say the class. Because mine, I have a dude for mine. It doesn't matter. Mine's proxied, but that's fine. All right, unarmed strike. Standard attack, melee, range 1. One enemy at range 1, plus 6 to hit. 1 damage if hit. If targeting is slowed. You know what? I actually forget about the slow a lot.
Sounds great.
Sling. Bonus action, which is kind of fun.
So real quick, what does slow do?
Your movement becomes halved, or is
no,
it
becomes
two?
Two.
Becomes two, okay. Two, yeah.
Whoever you hit, yeah. Their next activation.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Sling bonus action, which I forget that's a bonus action too. Sometimes I just move up and then sling, and I'm like, bam, that's it. Sling, one enemy at range 2 to 3, plus 4 to hit, 1 damage, fine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's a bonus action that makes it fine for the, like, little plink. Critical, plus 1, and you may move your speed. So, plus 1 damage, you may move your speed, so that's nuts. So if you hit, you can actually move, like, like you move five up, hit, you get a crit, then you can like move out of melee range again or go, because she's moves five, so a lot of characters can't actually catch her.
Right.
So that's good. Mobility, enemies cannot make melee attacks after your moves. I'm just calling the punch the melee. It's the type of attack.
Mm-hmm. Physical, so, I think.
Yeah.
Register, but yeah, it's.
Yeah, so that's what I mean when I'm saying that. So yeah, that's super good. Being able to jump out of the way of like a troll, because trolls, like sometimes a troll hits you coming in and leaving. So you can just move in, grab something, and move out. Like super good.
Right, because it has combat reflexes or whatever.
Or if you're fighting harpers and they do that, like, oh, I crit you and I move you one time for all my attacks of opportunity. You're like, yeah, man, sorry.
Yeah.
Her special ability, standard action, flurry of blows. Make a melee basic attack against all adjacent enemies. Each target is a separate attack. So what's interesting about flurry of blows is you can use your unarmed strike, or you can use an equipped weapon if it has a melee basic attack. So something like the polearm out of the core set, it's like 2 damage range, 1 to 2, something like that. Don't quote me too hard, but being able to flurry, like, that's pretty cool. Or the dancing sword, where if you get a crit, you get to like
flame tongue.
Yeah, flame tongue. You know, there's some cool stuff. So on the entry, it feels kind of not great, like just punching for one, but you're slowing them, and it's, you can sometimes do a lot. So stun, this is actually a really big move. So it's your standard plus your movement, and it's exhausted, so you get to do it once. One enemy at range 1, plus 6 to hit, 2 damage. Target gains stunned. They cannot take any actions. That's incredible, because stunned is fading, so they kind of get hit by it for 2 turns if you hit them before.
Yep.
Well, no, because the fading effects will last till the end of their next turn, which will be the next turn that they take. They're going to be stunned for 1 round regardless of when you hit them.
That's fair. It's still very good. Like being able to stun a boss monster is like incredible. Yeah. Like, yeah, bonk. All right. Or a hero trying to run with like an objective token. It does feel bad when you roll a 1 on that, and you're like, because the Zhentarim really don't have any ways to fix dice. They're just kind of like,
yeah, I do not believe they do.
Whatever you throw is what you get. No bards, no anything. So that can feel really bad. That's actually, I guess, my takeaway for the character at all. I'll get to deflect missiles in a second. It's does a lot of things okay, but feels real bad and they don't work out. But deflect missiles, after you're hit by a ranged attack that was not a critical or a blast or an area effect. So no like fireballs or no fire breaths. You can just throw that away. So if Grapple Shanks is going to hit you for 4 or whatever with some buffs, as long as it wasn't a crit, you just say, nah, man. See ya. And they gain experience by using a ability, which that's actually kind of, it's kind of a bummer on her because she's got one that uses once and the other one's got 3 turn cooldown, which isn't bad, but like, and then her catch arrows is 5 turns. So you're not really leveling on that. You're leveling on punching people. But
you're leveling on punching and slinging, trying to get multiple hits a turn.
Yeah.
Boost up that way.
Yeah.
But she does move 5, but when she gets bloodied, her AC goes down by 1, but she goes movement 6. So she gets way faster. So honestly, she's a big playmaker. I mean, that's her point in the list, right? She's got the flag. That's the tactician.
Really good at snagging things and running them to one place or another.
Or just going to bully a backliner. Like, that's pretty okay.
And you can get her even faster, right? So you can get her shadow step, which is a +1 to movement as well.
Oh, yeah. And good call. I forgot about those.
So here's why I have some... here's my issues I have with her. That stun ability, I get that it's super strong, right? Let me just get that off the table. But it takes a standard and a movement to make it happen, and that's, it's done after that.
Yep.
So, like, picking the time for that, and also, it's still a, like, 2-hit thing. So you're like, it just feels like you're giving up a lot for that stunned, and like the moments that you would actually give up all of that turn for that don't seem very often. And so like, I just find that stuff like that less useful to me, where I can't continually use it. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I have one ability on, well, maybe two abilities on here where her deflect missiles, where I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe I'll
deflect
use
missiles
those.
Is probably the one I'm least jazzed about because yeah. She is kind of a priority target if she's doing her objective stuff, but if she's not, probably wanting to shoot somebody else. Like,
I mean, that's Bedlam fine
or whoever, but
Her other level up ability, Opportunist. After an adjacent enemy is hit by a friendly character's melee basic attack, you may make a melee basic attack against it. That's super great. Yeah. What if everything I did had plus one damage? Like, pretty good. Yep. So
throwing out slow.
It's yeah, and slow. Like, you whack them with Bed the Warlock. Yeah, just get used to my gimmick. The Warlock. And then, well, because I'll say the ones I can say, then I'll say
you
the
created the rules here.
Yeah, I know. I got to just stick with it. It's fine. The Warlock for like three, and then she can put one more for four. And that's like not even a crazy hit. That's a,
yeah,
I hit somebody who's cursed, and then I'm punching them two for plus six to hit. Like, that's probably gonna be four damage. Yep. So, that's pretty excellent. But that's my pitch. Very versatile character. Doesn't do a lot of damage, but all the objective play you'll get out of it is worth it to me.
Okay. All right. Nick, do you want to do Baruchel or Bedlam?
I'll take Baruchel. All
right.
So he is a plus five to hit, two damage, beats it. The 5/2 is pretty average for like your actual dedicated melee combatants. So he's nothing special there. On a crit, he'll do an extra damage and apply slow, which he does a lot. Not crit, but he applies slow. His movement 4, AC 17, which is the highest base AC in the game, I believe. Not even tied with anybody. And he's also got 13 hit points, which is also the highest in the... Never mind, second highest in the game. Drachmal is 14.
Right.
But the dude is a tank. And he has 2 damage on his card, but that is a little bit misleading because with his magic weapon, he's going to have 2 turns of hitting for 3 damage on that. He's also going to have a 3 damage attack on his smite. So 3 to 5 turns of the game, he's going to be hitting for 3 damage, which is a lot. Most people just hit for 2. Some people even 1, like Javita there. So he is a really solid beast hit. He's going to be the one that's charging into every objective and can then outfight whoever gets put there.
Yep.
My problem with him is he's very one note. Like, I swing.
That's a big note.
I don't even know if it is that big, though. I feel like there's other characters and other classes that just kind of do it better. And also, does he feel like a paladin? Does that moveset feel like a paladin?
No, he's...
It's like magic weapons. Like
he's got a whooping stick.
Anybody could have that, right? Like, it's a smite's a paladin ability, I guess. Yep. But other characters have, like, big hit.
But the effect of the smite ability is hit something and then they're slowed. It is magical damage.
Sure. It's just like there's
apart
some
from that, yeah, it's
like in my head, paladins have some sort of self heal. Granted, we haven't seen a ton of paladins in the game yet. I think there's 2. It's this one and the one in Many Arrows, right?
And there's a cell sword, and we've seen the promo.
I guess you're right. Like, paladins usually have like a lay on hands,
something, yeah, right? Cause that's kind of like why you pick the paladin, is because I want to be a good guy and I want a little bit of heal, like, you know.
Yeah. I think he becomes a little bit more of a paladin with his level up abilities.
Yes, the level up abilities are very paladin.
Yeah,
go ahead. It's 2 auras that he has, and it's what's the range on them? Do you have those in front of you, Jay?
It's 1 to 2 on the conquest, and 0 to 2 on the protection, which means he could do it to himself.
Yeah, so he gets to either add 2 AC to everyone around him, at friendlies, including himself, or subtract 2 AC from any enemies around him.
Yeah.
And that just depends on what you want to do in the current game state, Or like, if he's surrounded by three people and off on his own, subtract their AC. If he's not, buff it. Whatever you need to do.
Well, and I think the interesting thing with this too, right? So the game plan with him is you're getting in close, you're in melee, right? And as they start attacking you back, the enemies, you're gaining experience, and hopefully you're getting to a point where before you get bloodied, that you're doing, I mean, and it's a while before you get bloodied, right? Like down from,
yeah, I think it's like five or something. Like he takes
13 to like six or five. Yeah. But
same.
In that time, if you can upgrade and get the aura protection, your AC now goes from 17 to 19. And so now it's like, now you're just in there and it's like super hard to like get you out. Right.
Yeah. Or if your opponent decides to ignore him, like, he's too tough, I'm not going to try to kill him. You get your aura up where he's suddenly making everybody around him easier to hit. Yeah. He's a pain on whatever objective you're pushing. I'm a fan.
Go ahead, Jay.
Well, what I was going to say too is I think just in comparison, I know we're going to do the Warlock Bedlam next, but like just in comparison to Maple Monk, like he's hitting hard, and then once he levels up, he's actually supporting everyone else or potential. Well, either way, he's supporting everyone around him because he's either bringing everyone up or bringing all the enemies down so that everyone else can hit him. And so I think that's kind of where I see him as a better team character and a better like leader type character for the team, is he's very much bringing the team up with him. Where the monk is just like off on her own. She kind of loses that stun after she uses it once. Like, and I don't know that if you're going to use it, but like all his stuff is very much usable. And, you know, two of them you could potentially do twice. You know, you might be able to get magic weapon off twice if you pop it in the first round.
It's just interesting because the Zhentarim don't really care that they're around each other. It's not like being around Sparklebang to get that reactive plus reroll, right?
Yeah.
Or not reroll, but the plus three to hit. Or being around Chloe to get the plus two to hit. So, like, they don't really care. Even, like, the heal is, like, 0 to 5. Like, that's, you can be pretty far away and still get the heal off with the Mistral.
Yeah.
So, for to have one character.
The mission itself will still focus, force you to be in specific spots.
Sure, but 0 to 2 is very close. Like, I feel like it's just a weird, he's just like weirdly how he's a team player, but the rest of the group doesn't really care. Like they kind of do their own thing.
I think they care. And here's like a, for instance, right? So like if we were going to look at Bedlam, which we will next, like their AC is 12. And then she has Dark One's Own Luck, which is a plus 3 to AC. So she gets herself up to 15. And then if you have him also giving plus 2, now you're at 17 with her. You're at 19 with him. If you're using the monk as well, you're now at 16 with the monk. Like, he's bringing all those other ones up, though they don't care about, you know, they don't help him. He doesn't care.
Aside from Sellswords, out of all the factions, Zhentarim has the highest AC, and once you get into like high ACs, every one you add matters more than the last one, just because of how the curve of the math works out. The higher number you get, like, it's a better percentage effect to go up from 17 to 18 than it is to go from 12 to 13. So they benefit more from that AC boost than most people normally would.
Yeah, I just feel like everything hits so hard and has such a high to hit, and you're rolling 2 die, that ACs kind of become irrelevant sometimes. If it's just like, I guess having 19 is like an outlier, because that's real high, but like going from like 12 to 15, it doesn't, like, a lot of times like a hit for like 21, 20, 18 with I rolled this and I added my 5 or a monster adds their 6. It's just like, okay, like I guess I'm paying for AC, but I'd rather have less AC and like pay for those ability points somewhere else, like that, those points I'm spending.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get hit anyway.
That's the Zhentarim thing. They've got a lot of AC. Their HP is pretty solid. They are just there to show up and, for the most part, beat face.
And, I mean, to an outlier, point to this, too, they're my faction. They're, like, the one, my favorite faction in the game. So I don't mean to be critical on them. It's just I play them, I've played them so much at this point that I'm like, I just see them like, why do they do that? Like, this just seems strange. But
how dare you be critical?
Well, they're not allowed. I was gonna wear a Cobra Kai shirt. I forgot to buy it for Adepticon. Said, you know, like, strike first, strike fast, no mercy. Yeah, I'm like, eh, it's the Centaurum logo, man. We don't care. We're just, well,
yeah,
do a slap.
And it's funny because when I first did this, I was hoping we were gonna get to this result at the end, but I'll bring it up now. We're gonna do Bedlam here in a second, but I really think that the three that we're doing now are three that you're taking, pretty consistently, and then you're rotating out your other two.
Yeah, it's tough with them because they're all good. It's not like with Harper's, yeah. A lot of times you're like, Druid, get out of here. Go wait in the locker room to your next time, Druid. This, it's like, I don't know, man. They're all good. I don't know. I feel bad leaving any of them out, right? Like, it's
I think a lot of, like, the Harpers, you might even, like, yeah, you bring five and then two cell swords and decide. I think this is you bring all six and then whichever cell sword and then you decide.
Yeah, you'd bring one out of obligation more than anything else. Like, yeah, I bought the pack, I guess. All right, Jay, hit us with Bedlam.
All right, Bedlam. We've got a Pact Blade, which is a standard. What's fire again? Arcana.
Yeah.
Arcane. One enemy at range one plus five to hit, two wounds. Eldritch Blast is a standard arcane. One enemy at range two to five plus four to hit, two damage. Critical plus one damage if attacking with a. Physical or, and then you gain a health. This is like their whole thing. Bedlam's whole thing is gaining health. You have strike, which is standard and a bonus arcane, dials down to three, make a physical attack. It gains an additional plus three to hit and additional damage. So you could use your pack blade and you're getting, you know, you're getting what? Three damage through and
four if you're cursed.
Yeah, four if you're cursed. So then you have curse, which is one enemy, character, or champion at range one to three gains curse. After the bearer of the curse dies, plus Bedlam gets plus three, and you refresh your curse because it's a exhaustible ability, so it goes away. And then with curse, Bedlam adds one damage to each of their attacks, the target that has the curse. And then she has Hellish Rebuke, which after you are damaged, deal an equal amount of damage to the attacker.
That's super good.
That is good.
And then I mentioned it before, but she has Dark One's Own Luck, which is her upgrade cards, which is a plus three to AC. And then Dark One's Blessing, which after you defeat an enemy, you gain two health. She gets experience points after activation. So not a ton there, you know, you're getting what, eight potentially, but hopefully you want to level up.
It's just when can you level up,
right?
Can you get there by turn three?
Yeah.
Well, you do a little shooting. I mean, two to five, that's pretty good.
You'll probably shoot turn two
and then you'll
and turn
you'll
get, three. And then
there's
you'll
some
have,
games that just move slow. So she's actually getting,
you probably level up by the end of turn three or four,
which is good. Yeah.
Yeah. But I really think that these three are kind of the tip of the spear because they're just doling out so much damage between the three of them. And so I think you're just like basically running them in like the Mighty Ducks flying V towards whatever and trying to get Baruchel to level up so that you can then give the AC to the other one so that they can get, then you're bringing up the rest of the team behind them. Cause then you'll have those protections, which
I will say something about Bedlam though, that I really, she is, she can operate at range.
Yep.
She does want to be in melee though, but she is arguably the squishiest Centaurum.
Oh, not even arguably. She's
so I found a lot of times that she is good, especially if you can get that damage out on her, but she takes a little bit of setup and she has to be in melee. And sometimes she just dies.
Yeah, but it's
you think she's more squishy than the clanless?
I think so. Not necessarily just from raw stats, but because she is diving.
Yeah,
and Rod Piatrix is staying more, further back. Yeah, staying a lot safer.
Fireballs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bless you.
So yeah, I think she's all in all a lot more fragile.
Yeah.
Just with how she's played.
It's tough because I like them all. Whenever time I play, I really have trouble deciding which one I want. I really have to think about it. A lot of times with Harpers, I'm like, nah, you're out, or this guy's out. And then with Many Arrows, I've played a lot of games with them too. And I'm like, nope, you're sitting out. Nope, don't need two of you. Like, there's, like, it's easier choices. But Zhentarim's, like, any combination people tell me, it's probably good. Like, I'm like, yeah, all right. Just don't leave out the cleric, I guess.
That's fine. Yeah, I think
if you're going to drop, if you have to take one character, we didn't really talk about her, but just take your healer, then everything else is like whatever you want.
I think Bedlam really likes having Mistral around.
Oh,
because she needs that boost to actually get to the point where she's killing things and getting some health back. Because otherwise, she might be the first one out.
Yeah,
and you don't get any of that.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was our quick take on Zhentarim.
Eventually, we'll go through and like deep dive a lot of the stats and stuff, but just some
off stuff. Yeah, and I'm
quick overview.
Yeah, we're kind of just like biding our time too, because more stuff's coming out, right? So it's how does that change?
Yeah, that expansion patch for all four factions,
right,
on the horizon.
Yeah, how does that change things? What what are the what are tournaments going to look like? What are what are these?
Haven't even gone into Cell Swords very hard yet either,
right? Yeah. But yeah, so we've got at least four more weeks, another month worth of just doing this, glossing over, and then we can start deep diving into stuff.
When we get the 10 right of each, and that's like there's some real choices to be had. Like I know they leaked, not even leaked, they're showing it. It's weird. It's not leaking.
They don't leak stuff. It's just like they're like, yeah, this is here you go.
You just got to be in the know.
Right. It's wild. Yeah, it's wild. Like the bard for Zhentarim is not really a help you bard. It's like an assassin bard. It's very strange, very cool. I'm like, I'm here for it. But I mean, again, they're just like, it's every man for themselves with Zhentarim, right? Like,
yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So we did it. Rocky start.
Did it.
Smooth like butter on the ending.
You do this long enough, folks, you can just talk about anything for any amount of time you need to.
Yep. And we're about to do it again because we've got another cast. So, so, hey, thanks for joining us. If you like what you hear, you could support us on Patreon if you want. And like Nick said, you get access to our Discord server so you can come tell us how awful this was direct to our faces.
Love to hear it.
Yeah, which we all love to hear. So thanks.
Tell us that we're wrong for calling Barrett Kyle the best.
Yep.
Tarum.
Yeah, well he is. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys next week. Evan?
Everyone, stay rad.
Nick?
Night, guys.
You need a better outro, dog.
What am I gonna do?
Math is awesome.
Stay fresh, cheese bags.
There you go. Oh, you stole that from Kyle. Oh, all right.
Oh, I mean, we stole
it. Kyle stole it too.
Let's be real.
I mean, if that's how you want to play this, dog. All right, all right, everybody. Thank you.
Sword and Board is brought to you by the Fifth Trooper Network.